The interview.
Well, as things worsen, a Democratic Party is leaning into actual authoritarianism. We look back on the Trump administration to see where we could be right now instead of where we currently find ourselves. Peter Navarro was an assistant to the president and director of trade and manufacturing policy during the Trump administration. He's now the author of a brand new book that you can pre-order. It's called In Trump Time, My Journal of America's Plague Year. Joining me on the line, we're very proud to welcome to the show, Peter Navarro. Welcome to the show. Really appreciate it.
You know, your coverage back during CHOP days was just superb, and it's such a shame that Seattle is plagued by the woke folks that it is, because
yes,
it's one beautiful city. But I'm glad to be with you today, sir.
Thank you so much, and thanks for the kind words.
Yeah, and you know, the In Trump Time book, the In Trump Time is a phrase that I coined early in the administration, and it simply meant that President Trump was able to get things done quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we needed to, you know, whether it was closing the border or creating blue-collar manufacturing jobs or getting a vaccine to market, that's what we do. We moved in Trump time. So this book is my journal of the last year of the administration. And I think there's a lot of folks who want to know what the truth is about that last year after they've gotten all the propaganda from the left-wing novelists out there, as I call them.
Well, yeah, especially on just how COVID was handled. And it feels to me like a lot of, not all of, but a lot of the general media take has been just astonishingly dishonest. You were there from the start. What do you think was the biggest misconception about how the president and the whole team handled COVID?
The early part of the book in Trump Times starts in my office in early February, and February 9th, to be specific. The biggest misconception that was spun was that we had a lost February, that we were not kind of on the game, that we didn't downplay the threat and things like that. And I have a series of 12 memos that I wrote during that critical month that really illustrates beyond any shadow of a doubt that President Trump, going back even to the travel ban he issued on January 29th, was really moving in Trump time at warp speed to get things going. And for example, on February 9th, I'm sitting in my office with a couple of experts, and one of the first things I put out was a memo that said that if we acted today with the task force and the healthcare bureaucracy, we could get a vaccine by October or November. Now, think about that.
Yeah.
That's in February 9th, months before the World Health Organization recognized the dangers, and we actually hit that mark. And another chapter of In Trump Time describes exactly how we were able to upend the traditional paradigm, get those medicines to market. At the same time, other memos in February were going after what I regard as something far more important than the vaccine, which is to say the therapeutics, the monoclonal antibodies, the hydroxychloroquine, the remdesivir. I was working on memos that got us, made sure we had, every American had a ventilator. So Jason, that's the biggest misconception. The president was all over this from the get-go, but the corporate media wanted to, and the Democrats wanted to blame the president for the pandemic, so they never gave him any credit.
Well, what's fascinating to me is that the media, despite the things that Trump did very well when it comes to COVID, and it wasn't perfect, but it was very, very strong, especially given the fact that it was a new virus that no one had ever seen before. You know, they rip on him, and yet Dr. Anthony Fauci remains propped up by CNN and MSNBC as this kind of godlike figure who, frankly, has flip-flopped on so many things in ways that feel more political versus the science has evolved. So what was your experience with him behind the scenes?
I will make the prediction that after the American people read In Trump Time, that Fauci will be gone. His partner in crime, Francis Collins, has been forced to resign. That just happened last couple of days. My experience with Fauci in Chapter 2 of In Trump Time, it's set in the Situation Room. The date's January 28th. The boss has sent me there to argue on behalf of the travel ban to kind of bring the task force in line. And I walk into this room, and there's a lot of people I know there. Mulvaney, the chief of staff, chairing it. He's at the end of the table. I got Pompeo's guy on my left shoulder. Across from me, you got the CDC's Redfield. I recognize, of course, Azar, who's health and service. And there's this guy sitting across me, round glasses, little guy with a little smirk on his face, and didn't know who he was, didn't know he walked on water, didn't know his name was St. Fauci. And within 3 minutes, I'm in a screaming match with this son of a gun, and he's adamantly opposed to the travel ban. And I'm going, well, wait a minute. It's like, you mean, you know, 20,000 Chinese nationals are coming in every day to this country, many of them infected. Well, why are you? Anyway, that was my first showdown with him. And I came out of there thinking, wow, that guy thinks he's smarter than he is. Mm-hmm. And two, more importantly, that guy's going to hurt us and the president. And I would have many, many more showdowns with him. But what most importantly, in the In Trump Time book, I uncover the cover-up that he did that really cost hundreds of thousands of American lives, because he knew, Anthony Fauci knew, Jason, in January of 2020, when that virus broke, that it was likely from the Wuhan lab, and more importantly, it was likely genetically engineered using gain-of-function experiments that Fauci himself, along with Collins, had financed through the NIH. So he's going down, and he's going down for that. He's going down for his blocking of something that absolutely works. We now know this, hydroxychloroquine saves lives, and he's going down for everything else he did with respect to disrupting the vaccine process for political purposes.
Peter Navarro joining me on the line. You can pre-order his book. I highly recommend you do. It's called In Trump Time. I've got a link up on our Twitter feed right now if you want to purchase the book. But it's called In Trump Time, My Journal of America's Plague Year. Last question for you. Do you, and I had President Trump on the show last week, and we talked a little bit about Dr. Fauci, and I asked if it was a mistake to keep him so front and center the entire time, or most of the time, of his handling of COVID. And he made the point, rightly so, that he had smacked down a lot of the things that Fauci was pushing, but he was still a public figure within the administration. Was that a mistake, looking back, that maybe he was let to be in front of cameras a little bit too much?
Well, I have one rule. The president never makes mistakes. He just takes actions with the information he's got. I did tell the president on two different occasions that he should fire Fauci, and I did it early on. I don't blame him for not taking my advice, because, look, I was the trade guy, right? What do I know? And meanwhile, Azar, Redfield, his healthcare bureaucracy is saying, yeah, this is the guy. But it was a mistake for the Republic, because that man is evil. I make no mistake about this. He is evil. He's evil because he was at the American bureaucracy that used taxpayer dollars. There's a story in the book In Trump Time that I tell about how Fauci went behind the president's back in 2017 to overthrow the ban on this dangerous gain-of-function experimentation. What is gain-of-function? It's when you take like a bat virus that can't hurt you and turn it into something that can kill humans. And Fauci, through surrogates like Peter Daszak, and Ralph Baric at the University of North Carolina, basically did the gain-of-function experiment at the Wuhan lab with this. There's this woman that's called the Bat Lady, Xi Zhangli. These people are dangerous, and Communist China should pay for what they did to us, and what they did to us, whether that virus might have escaped accidentally, but everything after that was intentional by Communist China, and they created the pandemic along with Fauci. They need to be held accountable.
They definitely need to be held accountable. I don't think that's going to happen under this administration, but hopefully in the future we'll see something happen. In Trump Time, My Journal of America's Plague Year, that's the name of the book. You can pre-order it right now. I just posted a link on Twitter, so you can get right to it. But again, it's called In Trump Time, My Journal of America's Plague Year. Peter Navarro, thank you so much for stopping by. I really do appreciate it.
I really enjoyed it, sir, and get some sunshine out there. I know that's the one thing in short supply.
Yeah, no kidding. That and some more conservatives, but we'll take the sun at this point. More realistic. Peter Navarro, thank you.
All right, my friend. You take care.
You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. Now this.